Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to WonderPod Episode 8. That's right, we've done 8 of them in a row. I'm joined, as always, by Gunsage.
Hello.
Look, his mic's still screwing up. Look, it's it's not Gunsage. And everybody's favorite Canadian postal worker, Patman.
WonderPod 8. What's up, everybody?
Woo! What? Drunken Canadian frat boy for the win. And
then the show died.
All right, we're done. No, what have you been playing this week, Gunsage?
I was mostly playing Mass Effect, and then I broke yet another headset because I got pissed. That's something I need to stop doing. So I decided, hey, you know what would be really fun and not at all masochistic? I should go ahead and buy Grand Theft Auto 4 at a very low price of $12 and play it and actually try to enjoy it. I have tried. I have so tried to actually enjoy it, actually. I'm still trying.
So it's not working out too well.
Everybody keeps saying, oh, you'll get better at the driving. And I'm like, really? Really? I have to slam on the brakes 10 seconds before I'm going to hit the intersection, then very gingerly turn to the left or the right. And even then, half the time, I will spin around and my ass will run into a wall. And that is how you get shit done in Grand Theft Auto 4. God forbid you need to get into a fucking high-speed chase.
So they really haven't fixed the driving since Vice City, which is the last one I played.
Well, here's the funny part. Grand Theft Auto 3, it was new to me because I wasn't aware. I was like, handbrake? What the? Okay. You know, because before that, I was really only used to driver. So I started getting used to that. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is a little more arcade style. So this isn't really how it would work in real life, but whatever. Vice City was a little bit of an extension to that. San Andreas, an extension to that. And I was actually really getting used to that control style. And then they switched it up in Grand Theft Auto 4 to something that's supposed to be more realistic. And in that, it means that basically if you go over 20 miles an hour, God forbid you should ever have to make a fucking turn. You're fucked. It's awful.
So
you use the handbrake and you just slide out of control.
So it's like driving an old 60s era car without power steering.
Pretty much. It reminded me of Mafia. It was that bad.
Anything else this week?
I don't know. I think that might have been it, actually. No. I reloaded up Mother 3 for the Game Boy Advance. That's some good stuff.
Yep. Always worth a playthrough. Patrick, how about you, good sir?
I have been playing a lot of games this week. I will forget about the DS stuff. I'll put it down to, I'll talk about three things that I've been playing this week. Two of them are great experiences on the Xbox 360, and one of them is a total piece of crap. So, I will start with the two good ones, I guess, before I dive into the shit at the end. So, first off, friend from work who owns Batman Arkham Asylum, and I traded games for a few weeks. I finally finished Darksiders, and he was interested in that title, so we switched games for a little while. I'm pretty early in Batman, but it's already very, very cool game. The visuals and the atmosphere is really great. It looks and it feels like a Batman game should play. It's a lot better than most comic book shitty games that I've played. The sound and the voice acting is amazing, especially good old Luke Skywalker, aka Mark Hamill. He did a really good job on the Joker. I'm early into the title. I managed to get 3 achievements so far, so I'm not too far in, but I understand now why the game is up or was up for Game of the Year last year. I'll probably have to play a bit more of it this week, and I'll come back next week with more impressions, but so far, so good. Have you guys played this game at all?
Yes.
Nope. Not yet. It's on the list of games to be played when I have time. When I'm not buying new Xbox systems because I want to. So.
You can't say if you finished it or?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I finished it.
Wow, cool. Right on. Second good experience I've had this week playing video games. I downloaded the Hoth level downloadable content for Star Wars The Force Unleashed. and the Star Wars nerd in me very much enjoyed it. This is the third and final downloadable content for this game, and it's very nerdalicious if you're into Star Wars. The last two DLC episodes take place basically in an alternative universe or timeline, if you want, from the original first two movies, New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. At the end of the game, you can choose the dark side. At the end of the original game, you could choose the dark side of the Force, and you actually kill Darth Vader. Spoilers. Which, of course, sets off all sorts of changes, and you become the new Sith Lord. So, the first DLC takes place on Tatooine, which is pretty cool. But the one I just played a couple days ago, it takes place on Hoth, which is pretty cool. Pretty awesome. Start off on a Snowwalker, and you end up fighting your way inside Echo Base against all sorts of rebel scum. And those big fucking snow monsters and names I can't remember at the moment. There's some really cool parts if you're a Star Wars nerd, that's for sure. You end up facing Luke Skywalker, which is pretty neat, several times, and you're trying to stop the Falcon from escaping, like in the movies. The only negative thing about the DLC, really, is it's a lot shorter than your typical level would be in the game, so it's over pretty fast. Which is okay for someone like me who stops and checks out all the details, because I like Star Wars so much. But if you're not a big fan of the movies, it's probably a little overpriced. 800 points, I think it was, or 600 points for a pretty quick level. And finally, I played the worst fucking demo of all time on the Xbox 360. It is a total piece of shit, really. Basically, it's like a smelly piece of shit. The game is Dynasty Warriors Strike Force. Did I text you when I was playing the game there, Bruce? I'm not sure.
Yes.
I think I did. I mean, I don't even know if that's the name of it. I know it's Dynasty Warrior or something or other, but I care so little about this game that I'm not even going to go back and check what the bloody name was. It's a complete disaster. Like, holy crap, this game is bad. The visuals are, seriously, I'm not kidding, they're like a friggin' PlayStation 2 game. And not even a good PlayStation 2 game. Some of the characters are, like, transparent. The environments have no... The environments have no detail. They're non-interactive. The fire effects are absolutely terrible. Just looks like shit. Then there's the sound and the voice acting, which is even worse. I think they have one guy who does all the voice acting in the entire demo, and it's so annoying. It's really slow. The frame rate is poor. When you fall down, it takes forever to get the fuck back up. And I mean, I've played games with a lot of characters on screen before, like, what's that Capcom zombie one that we all like?
What the hell? Dead Rising?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of characters on screen at one time, right? So, yeah. I mean, the Xbox can fucking handle it, but this game is terrible. I mean, seriously, if you're a fan of the series, you probably won't be after you play this demo. What a piece of shit. Anyways, that's what I've been playing. What?
More like Dynasty Warriors.
If I get dirty emails from Sterling over you two shitting on Dynasty Warriors, I'm going to kill you both.
Let him try it first.
Well, see, that's the thing. Patrick usually, minus controls, Patrick is a stickler for controls, but outside of that, I think that's the most negative I've ever heard you about a game. Well, like, when I got the text from you, I'm like, whoa.
It is terrible. Like, they have these explosion fire effects, right? It looks really shitty. Like, really shitty. I don't know. I haven't played the other ones, but from what I hear about them, they got to be at least semi-smooth, right? I mean, there's waves, guys coming at you, right? Have you played them, Kensei?
No, but... Go ahead. Well, from what I understand and what I read of Jim's stuff, as far... Because he, like... I think he reviewed just about every last... one of the goddamn things.
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah. It's basically just a huge ass hack and slash with, you know, different abilities, and the most impressive thing is the you know, amount of enemies on screen at once and just the crazy mayhem that occurs. But it still looked really impressive. Maybe not my thing, but still impressive all the same. So
I wonder
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I played the demo for the last one. And it was nothing like what you're talking about. I mean, yeah, it was a lot of characters on screen. It was basically a button masher, with apologies to Lord Sterling. Nothing I would have bought release day or for weeks after. But it was fun. I mean, I could see the appeal to it. And I recall the older ones, cause like I was joking, I think Jim's been reviewing those since he was on the Oratory. way back when. So, and the voice acting was always one of the stronger points. It was always really good and really traditional. So I don't know what the Dynasty Warriors team is doing.
Maybe it's a different team.
Yeah. It was made by Square Enix, probably.
And another weird thing. I mean, it's just a demo. Maybe it's a work in progress, but, you know, besides the shitty frame rates and falling down and taking time to get up and all that crap, you start off in a camp, right? There's three different clans in the game. So you start off in a camp and you can talk to people, right? Well, it's the same fucking camp with the same people in the exact same place when you use a different clan. I'm like, what? Could you at least have made the camps look differently because they're different fucking clans? It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't, as far as I know, Jim has not said hide in her hair about it. So that could be an indication that you are on the right track. As for me this week, first off, I went back through my old not ROMs and played a little bit of No Mercy again for the 40 billionth time because it's fun. Played a fishing game. I know. But it's fun and a good time killer. And the one I play, I can't remember the name of it, but it was for the N64. You actually kind of have to know a little bit about fishing to do well at it, which I found is why I find it entertaining. You can't just go out there and screw around and do really well. So it actually makes it more entertaining because you can fuck up really badly and make yourself look like an idiot. And on top of that, it's a video game. I don't care if it's about fishing. I'm not going to turn it down. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be playing FIFA 10 anytime soon. But if it entertains me, I'll play it. The other one I played, I went back and did a little bit more screwing around in World of Warcraft. And then on the Xbox this week, all I played basically was Rainbow Six Vegas 2. And the only thing I have to say about that is they improved upon Rainbow Six Vegas 1, which is good, without doing anything so innovative that they broke the fucking game. Which seems to be the pattern of most developers. Well, it's the second one. We got to do something new and exciting. And oh, look, it broke the game. You stupid fucking bastards. This one didn't. The only thing I'm starting to kind of understand as I play back through it is why guys who play mostly Splinter Cell and Rainbow Six and like those franchises whine and complain when franchises like COD don't have cover systems in it. Because a typical playthrough for me in the story mode is I start out using cover more like I would in COD or Battlefield. And then as I progress and remember I'm playing a Rainbow Six game, I use the cover as they intended in Rainbow Six. I still don't blind fire that much because I just, other than maybe covering your AI teammates, it really, I don't know, it doesn't do you a shit ton of good as far as I'm concerned, but I still think that you don't necessarily, after playing through it a couple times, I still don't think you necessarily need a cover mechanic in all first-person shooters to be innovative. You know, you're going to have some guys that go, well, it doesn't have a cover mechanic. I'm not playing it. Well, fuck it. Not all of them do. I still believe that even after playing through it again.
I didn't even know there was a second one for the Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the cool thing about it is they kind of went COD with it. You can unlock and earn shit. Like, you can earn better armor and better guns. But the cool thing about it is the guns you start with, you can play through the whole game with and be fine. The sniper rifle, the submachine gun, it's not like it limits you and you go, oh, you got to earn this. They're all, some of the later guns are a little better. But, yeah, it's actually worth playing through. I wish I picked it up when it was released. I think it would have been a fun little multiplayer game. Because, I mean, you're actually in a squad. You can actually use cover. If you got four guys that get along pretty well, it would have been a pretty fun game to play through four-player co-op.
I've got four-player. That's pretty good.
Yep. Most of Rainbow Six games do have four-player co-op.
Nice.
I know I played one time in Rainbow Six 1, or in Vegas 1, four-player co-op. And then I played, oh, shit, I'd have to look at my PS2 games. One of the Rainbow Sixes that was on PS2. I played that on a LAN with four PS2s, and that was a blast because you could actually throw crap at each other while you were doing it. You're not behind cover. I'm hitting you with this empty Coke can. See what happened? You know, that. As much as I love playing on Xbox Live with you guys and stuff, there's still something about an actual LAN where you're sitting there in arm's reach so you can smack each other and throw shit at each other and distract each other. You're just never going to replace that on Xbox Live.
No, exactly.
I only paid $15 for it at GameStop, I think, if that. I was just looking for a cheap game because I knew I was going to be upgrading my system and didn't want to spend the money on a new one. Although I came real close to saying screw it and being really broke and buying Mass Effect 2. But I can wait, or Borderlands, but I can wait a little longer on that.
Borderlands. I'd say just
is a master at that.
Well, that's the other thing. They just got they've got that new DLC, and they've got, you know, you can play co-op, so.
We played Bumper Cars co-op one time. That was about it.
Well, see, that sounds fun to me.
Yep.
Excuse me. Actually, I think that is what I'm going to pick up next, probably in the next couple weeks. I'll probably pick it up. I don't know, though. Supreme Commander 2 is coming out. I might buy that on Steam instead. That's Square Enix and Gas Powered Games. I can't wait to see what they do. Should be kind of amusing, if nothing else. Okay, with that, we will move on to the news. And Patrick, why don't you read the people bitching about Sonic 4 story?
Wave news item. Fans threaten to boycott Sonic 4 by purchasing Sonic 1. Online petitions don't get much better than this. This is from 1UP.com. Gist of it is, apparently, whiny little gamer bitches, as we've talked about even in the last episode, are not satisfied with the announcement and the very short video of Sonic the Hedgehog 4, which, as we all know by now, is a throwback to the original two-dimensional popular Sonic games. So, Sega, the article reads, Sega hopes to rejuvenate their flagship franchise with Sonic the Hedgehog 4. But one group in particular isn't on board. So they have a little petition here and says that fans of the Sonic series want their old games brought back to the glory days when Sega was pretty much the power in video games. I never knew they were the power in video games at some point. But anyways, these are fanboys talking. So seeing the gameplay of Sonic 4 has made many of us realize that what we already knew, Sonic 4 will simply not be anywhere near as good as the original Sonic games. Anyways, they go on from there. Basically, what they're thinking of doing is, instead of buying Sonic 4, they're going to download Sonic 1. So instead of giving Sega money, they're going to Sega money. What do you think of this?
This is what I think. So basically, Sonic the Hedgehog 4 is more or less the equivalent, Sega's equivalent of New Super Mario Brothers, Wii, or whatever you want to title it. So I think it's going to do well one way or the other. I think it's just really fucking stupid that they would, well, number one, petition it at all, even though it looks like a classic Sonic game, and then number two, do it in this retarded manner. I mean, what's Sega gonna do? Oh, holy fuck, I really wish we had made a little more money. Man, they showed us. They're not gonna give a fuck. Ugh.
On top of that, three-quarters of them will cave and buy it anyway. If the Modern Warfare 2 protest proved anything, I mean, and the thing is sooner or later, for a good reason, not this one, I'd like to see one of these protests work, but gamers fuck themselves every time because they go, oh, I gotta have it, and then they fucking do it anyway.
We're gonna protest Modern Warfare 2 by buying Modern Warfare 1.
Through you, Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
As you roll around naked in sacks of cash.
Yeah. This is what they wanted, these crazy fanboys from the past.
This ties into an article that Jimmels did about whining video game fans. And specific to this, one of their complaints is A, Sonic is too slow, and B, apparently his legs are too long. They need to be stubbier to be appropriate.
Well, they're trying to compare him to the original design of Sonic the Hedgehog, which who fucking cares?
Yeah, here's the thing. I like old video games, but as Jim points out in his article, you cannot continue to make games like they were made in 1997. He points out in his article Diablo franchise, the Fallout franchise, and Sonic. And it's like, all of these people, it's like, dude, why even whine? I mean, tied to Sonic specifically, it's like, you obviously haven't played the first couple Sonics if you think it's all about speed. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. And game franchises are going to move. You know, they're going to change. They're not always going to be the same thing you got last time. And if they are the same thing you got last time, there's going to be an even bigger segment, the bitches, that they're just getting fed the same crap over again.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the one thing I hate about gamers. It doesn't matter. You know, it does not matter what some of these companies do. There's going to be whiny little fucks out there bitching and moaning. That's why Jim wrote that piece. Everybody's going, oh, you're just doing flame bait, dude. No, he's like me and a lot of other gamers like me. He's tired of listening to you fuckers whine and moan.
Well, also think about it like this. How many people, even today, still complain whenever a game is sort of like Grand Theft Auto 3?
Exactly.
Grand Theft Auto 3 was great for its time. It revolutionized, blah, 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 all that. Okay, so naturally there's going to be a lot of games that are going to follow that. It's even gotten to the point now where it's just an archetype. It's no longer, oh, you're copying this. It's just, okay, so it's like this. That's the reason why I'm so surprised it took people long enough to even go ahead and try to emulate Zelda's formula, although I'm sure some, you know, games had tried up to this point, but then Darksiders is outcasted for it, and it's like, so? They're doing what, you know, they're you know, going off of a formula that works. Why are you getting so pissed off at them for doing it? You know, they do something original, and you outcast it, and they do something that copies something else and actually does well, and it's like, oh, you're just doing this. Okay, so shut the fuck up.
Well, yeah, it is shut the fuck up. But on top of that, you nailed it right there. If it's something new and innovative to games, a new mechanic, it becomes an archetype. It's no longer copying. It's just like, hey, this is good. Yeah, this series came up with it first, but hey, it's making our game better. Like you said, shut the fuck up.
Well, not even that. I just think it's funny because they didn't even know how to classify the Grand Theft Auto 3. At first, they're like, oh, it's open world. I'm like, well, what is open world? Well, open world means non-linear. You can do anything you want. You can go anywhere you can want. You can play the game in any order. You can't play the game in any order. Yeah, you can. You've got multiple missions at the same time. Right, but you're required to do all of them. Well, yeah, and in an order. Well, sure, so it's linear. Even Oblivion's linear, technically.
Well, yeah, technically, if you want to become a complete raging dick about it. But, I mean, it kind of skates the... I'm not saying you are, but it kind of skates the thing. Yeah, you still have an order you have to do to progress overall.
Well, it's the same with Fallout 3.
Right.
If you just want to do the main quest line, you can beat it in 20 hours or less. Or you can go around and search every little nook and cranny and get hundreds, literal hundreds of hours of gameplay out of it. You know, it's entirely up to you. You can do whatever the hell you want. But even if you knew what the final boss was and where to go for the final boss, you couldn't actually do it until you had done every little thing. So it's open world, yes, but it's not, you know, non-linear. Actually, I don't think any game is truly non-linear.
I don't think you could have a true non-linear game. It'd be too chaotic.
Well, you could. Actually, that's one of the game design philosophies I want to investigate at some point. Basically have it where you know where the end goal is, and you can go there anytime, but getting there is going to be a pain in the ass if you haven't done a certain number of tasks. You know, yeah. no, like, level scaling or anything crazy like that. Just have it where, well, here's your end goal. It's over this giant mountain. Do you have any climbing tools? No. Well, you can try to climb the mountain if you want. You can try.
Do you agree with him, Patrick, or what do you think about the whole linear or true non-linear games being possible?
It depends on how you really define it. I don't know if you could, because even in that example, you know, still have to sort of go places in order to accomplish goals. I don't think I want to play a game if they ever create one that's not, doesn't have some sort of linear, you know, objectives personally, but I don't know. I like having a little bit of guide-ness in a game, especially big open world.
Oh, I do too, but my point was more of the consumer's reaction. I could see what would happen. You would have jerks that beat it in 10 minutes and then wind it short. I mean, people were whining that Fallout 3 just doing the main quest line was short, and it took up to 20 hours. Come on, give me 20 fucking hours?
Well, let me rephrase here. Okay, what I mean is, just taking from a general scenario, like as far as plot base, what I want for my game that I'm working on, basically have it where, okay, so you're in this region, the government has taken over the town, you know, all this. You really don't have any credibility within the town whatsoever, no popularity, no nothing. The town's not on your side. It's a very paranoid environment. There's weapon depots and all kinds of different stuff like that. You can get the town on your side. You can develop a militia. You can try to take out their defenses and things of that nature, sabotage, get blueprints, things of that nature. Or if you want to be a complete asshole, you can march right into their base with no information whatsoever, no upgrades, no downgrades, nothing like that, and try to take them all out by yourself. You can. It's just not a good idea.
Right. I got you the first time. The bottom line is with all of that, to kind of try to tie it in.
have achievements for it if you can do that.
Oh, well, yeah. That'll hook people like you. My whole point is no matter what these game devs do to a point, people are going to whine and bitch and moan.
Oh,
And it's just ridiculous. It's like, you know, play the goddamn game. Let me ask you guys something else specifically about franchises. When I go to play a new game in a franchise, I don't play through it necessarily looking at it as, okay, this stays true to the franchise, this doesn't stay true to the franchise, as I play through. I play through it, see if it's fun, see if it's entertaining, see if it's a good game, and then I think about that later. Do you guys do that, or do you go through a new game in a franchise looking at it as, well, how true did they stay to the original?
You want to go first, Pat?
Depends. I mean, I don't, I know that sounds like a cop-out, but, I don't know. That's a tough question. I pretty much just take every game as its own game. If it's, basically you're saying like a sequel, is that what you're saying? Or a,
Right, yeah. Meant? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure, you expect something going into it, right? But I take every game, whether it's, you know, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, or more like Mario in my case, I take them all separately. You know, I don't expect them to be exactly the same.
Gunsage.
Okay. I'm kind of the same way. It really does depend on what it is. For example, if New Super Mario Bros. Wii was an RPG, I'd be like, okay, I'll still try to enjoy it, whatever. You know, no big deal. I would probably have enjoyed it anyway, because I just like RPGs. But I would be looking at it from an angle of, well, why'd they make this one an RPG if they were going to go ahead and call it this? The only other time it ever really mattered to me was when I was playing Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, because with that one, they were trying to tie it in, make it a prequel, and do all this stuff, and it actually worked really well, but it was one of those things where the formula was really bizarre. So it wasn't a bad game. As a standalone game, it was actually really nice, and as a story, you know, like tying into the main story, it was pretty nice. So that was no big deal. Most of the time, though, I just weigh a game for what it is. It is a little harder to do with series, you know, like Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy IX. It is a little bit harder to do like that only because you do have some expectations, you know. But for the most part, I try to look at a game as, I don't care that it's part of this series. I kind of know what to expect. I kind of don't. You know, so it's sort of an archetype. We'll just see how it goes. I do better with standalone games, personally.
Well, see, you guys kind of did. I mean, I said it with more words than it, but you kind of define what I'm talking about. I look at each game I pick up, whether it's a series or a standalone, as its own game. You know, and I'm starting to think others don't. You know, they expect like some of this whining and complaining in the Sonic thing or Fallout 3 or Diablo, that they expect everything to be just as it was, da 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 da, and that worries me. That worries me it's going to start scaring developers into just feeding us the same old shit. And I really think you have to look at games independently. You can't completely look at them as, well, this was not enough like Fallout 77, so 78 is horrible, yeah. Yada yada. So, you know.
To be honest, I was a little concerned about Fallout 3 when I first saw it, because I was like, wasn't this supposed to be an RPG? I know what they're going to do. They're going to completely wreck the RPG elements, da 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 da. And then as soon as I saw more and more about what they were doing, I was like, you know, this could really work. And I don't care what the people are saying. If it is Oblivion with guns, fine. Oblivion's an awesome game, and throwing guns in the mix would make it that much more awesome. What are people complaining about?
Yeah, except it wasn't Oblivion with guns, and so people that still hang on to that tired argument can go fuck themselves.
That's like saying Grand Theft Auto as an RPG in space with zombie vampire aliens and Chuck Norris. I mean, come on. Yes. You're just adding more and more things that the more you say it, the more intriguing it becomes. You know, it's, who cares?
I don't know. I guess I just don't. I mean, I got plenty of time on my hands, but I guess I'd just rather be playing video games with that time. The only thing out of all this whining and complaining between Jim's article and this Sega article or the Sonic article from 1UP, I am a little slight bit concerned about how cartoonish or tend to look cartoonish some of these screenshots for Diablo 3 look. But you know what? If it plays like a Diablo and it walks like a Diablo, then it's a fucking Diablo, and I will play it and I will enjoy it as long as my computer can handle it. You know, I mean, so I'm not worried about it.
Unless they all look like demon bobbleheads. That's where Vandal Hearts went wrong.
I don't know. I just don't think
it really matters. It's really what the game is that counts.
Right. So, I mean, we know your love of RPGs is well documented at Guns Age. Patrick, Mario has kind of wandered into the RPG element a couple times. Did you ever play any of those because, my God, it was Mario, or did you pass on them because you know you don't particularly like RPGs?
I passed on them because the thing with Mario is he's word out so much that it's almost become the Super Mario games, the platform games, whether they're two-dimensional or three-dimensional, are their own thing, right? And they hoard out Mario into all sorts of other genres, some of which I enjoy very much, like Mario Kart Racing and some of the sports games. But no, I've heard they're really good, but I didn't do the RPGs. One I did do on the Nintendo DS was the Partners in Time. I don't know, have you tried the one, Gunsage?
Yep, I beat it. It's fun.
You beat it? Yeah, it's a pretty fun game. So, but I went into it knowing it was turn-based kind of RPG type thing, and I didn't buy it. I wouldn't have been disappointed because it didn't have a lot of Mario elements to it. So I definitely don't do that with Mario. I mean, if there's something I know I don't like, I'm just not going to buy it personally.
But it doesn't bother you as a fan of the Mario series if Nintendo decides to hoard itself that direction.
Too late now. What was it, the N64 late Super Nintendo era that they turned Horio. That's who they should have a new character. Mario is a crack whore. Because, no, it doesn't bother me. You can't, you know. They're just trying to make more money, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's the at the end of the day.
Bottom line.
Okay, enough ramblings on from all of us. Patrick didn't really ramble, but Guns Age and I did about that one. Let's go to...
I could ramble some more.
Shut up. We know. The listeners know. I do like how you're able to magically steer it about RPGs. I could be talking about a fishing game and you would be steering it toward an RPG. That's a power you have. Don't give up on that gift. It's amazing.
That was a quote from a fishing RPG.
The Raftmaster curl quote?
Yes.
Ah, fishing RPG.
Wow.
Was that the last Zelda where you had to fish for 70 hours to get a slingshot?
No, that was on the Game Boy, Legend of the River King.
Oh, yes, I vaguely remember that.
Heard it was pretty good.
It's pretty silly.
Is it?
Yeah, it's. I played it a little bit. I might still have the card around here for it, because I still got my original Game Boy around here somewhere. Okay, our next story, and if there's a mass explosion of cussing in 2 or 3 days when this gets posted, we'll know why. Headline is, Bungie says future is undefined regarding possible PS3 development. Dun, dun, dun. Now, for those of you panicking about Reach becoming the next Final Fantasy 13, don't, because that one's still exclusive to Microsoft. But they are being, without even reading this paragraph and a half, two-paragraph thing, they are being very, very coy about what their future plans are. And it tells me that in under a cycle, there will be a Halo game on multiple platforms at release. Which makes me laugh because there are going to be spontaneously combusting Xbox fanboys going every which way, just like there was with Final Fantasy.
Carlos's heart ripped through his chest and like crushed by Bungie right now, even if it's like at the rumor stages right now.
It would make me smile. I would have a grin the size of California. If I even saw a fairly good rumor from a fairly good source that said the next Halo game was going to be a PS3 exclusive. Even if it was an April Fool's joke, just the day and a half of utter chaos, the internet would, it'd probably take the internet offline and just crash the entire thing. But it would be so fucking funny.
It wouldn't be that hard to spread that rumor either.
It's tempting. It's very tempting. Because again, as I railed on about last week, it's like, I don't care if you're a fan of a series, and just like the last story we just left. Series go through changes. Developers go through changes. I always thought Bungie screwed themselves signing this alliance with Microsoft because of, you know, what we're seeing with, multi-platform releases for a lot of games. So I'm not surprised at all by this. Patrick, you being the closest thing we have to a Halo fanboy, are you surprised by this at all? That they're eventually...
No!
That was a direct quote from Carlos. But, actually, Halo fanboys have nothing to worry about because Halo is owned by Microsoft. The Halo games, the Halo universe, everything to do with Halo is no longer the intellectual property of Bungie. It is the intellectual property of Microsoft. So any game with the name Halo in it, whether it was that strategy one, Halo Wars, whether it's all these videos coming out, the movie, anything with Halo is owned by Microsoft, and you could be pretty darn sure you won't see it on another video game console. What Bungie is talking about really is future games and future development. They're saying here that they have another team that's not working on Reach, and they're working on the genesis of what will become our next big thing. So the future of Bungie is uncertain. They should make games on the PlayStation 3 and make as much money as they can, but Halo itself will remain within the Xbox shadow. They'll have to have another developer make the next first-person shooter game if Bungie decides not to do it. But it is still the fact that the word Bungie and PlayStation is enough to give Carlos a fucking heart attack, I would say.
Gunsage, did you get anything else to add to infuriate the Halo fanboys out there, or Bungie fanboys?
You know, I could say that I hated Halo until I was blue in the fucking balls, but ultimately, what it comes down to is, I want them to do more than just Halo. I mean, I really liked Oni. I actually kind of sort of got into Myth, even though I'm not a big RTS fan. I would love to see either an Oni sequel or something done along the same lines. I mean, they're a pretty talented company. They could pretty much do whatever the hell they wanted. It seems like they're kind of like Blizzard in this sense. They're being, it's a catch-22. They have to continue making Halo games because that's what they're known for and that's what they're selling, but they're not doing anything else. So, you know, Blizzard keeps saying, oh yeah, StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3, it's right around the corner, guys. It's literally right around the corner. And I'm sure it'll come out eventually, but when? You know, years from now? This year? Next year? Fucking 2020? You know, is it going to be the next Duke Nukem Forever?
No, StarCraft will be a 10 release. It's going to be a 10 release. Diablo 3 has to get pushed back to 11 because StarCraft's going to sell so well.
This is where I almost have to give props to Rockstar because, okay, they got all that fame from, well, actually unexpected fame from Grand Theft Auto 3. It was really funny. I went back and read up on, they had a developer, you know, one of those developer corners or whatever the fuck it was in those gaming magazines from Rockstar. And he was talking about Grand Theft Auto 3 and they were like, you know, we went ahead and made this game, we shipped it out, and then after the initial distribution, we saw there really wasn't any cause for any more distribution. You know, people just weren't buying it, so we were like, okay, well, we tried that, let's go ahead and move on. And then, literal months later, it just exploded once people actually tried it, you know, got the critic feedback and everything like that, and started actually playing it. But they're mostly known for Grand Theft Auto, but they've also done other stuff like Manhunt, which not everybody likes, but I like. They did Bully, they did The Warriors, they did a number of different things.
They did that, you know, Western one that was pretty good.
Red Dead Revolver, they're getting ready to do Red Dead Redemption, and they're working on L.A. Noire, which I've got the latest Game Informer. It's going to be kind of like a 1947 crime drama, except it's going to be like an adventure game, but with like Grand Theft Auto controls.
Right, yeah. I've read up a little bit on it.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be pretty promising, but they're actually trying other shit. You know, whether it works or not is irrelevant. It's the fact that they're not staying within that one fucking game.
Right.
You know, that's the reason why I give them props, because it's like, with Blizzard, okay, I can kind of see that. It's an MMO. They've got to keep maintaining and updating it. I get that. But with Bungie, I don't feel like there's any real excuse. You know, this is their money ticket. Work on other shit, too. Get other projects rolling. You know, you don't have to just do this. Is this Microsoft telling you, you are under our control? Or is this just Bungie being fucking lazy?
Patrick, did you want to add something like
Nope, pretty much.
you know what, Gunsage? I've been hearing these rumors various and in sundry places, and I think this is what Bungie's getting ready to do. I think what's going to happen, because I know that their relationship with Microsoft has not always been kittens and roses, maybe the thorns of roses, but not the petals. Oh, yeah. I think this is what you're going to see. I think what's going to happen in the next 2 years, and this is a guess on my part, so nobody start committing ritual seppuku, but I think you're going to see them go in another direction, and it will get to the point where they will tell Microsoft, go find, have Lion's Head do, you know, tell Peter Molyneux to do Halo, we're done, you know, and wiggle their way out of, yeah, that'd be the funniest fucking thing. Actually, that's...
It'll be another Square and Nintendo situation.
Yeah. I really could see it coming, but Bungie realized what a mistake they made. You know, I knew that Microsoft owned the Halo universe, Pat, but just getting that out there of seeing a Halo game exclusive on PS3, I had to say it. It's just so, the comedy itself. But hey, Bungie doesn't necessarily, you know, I'm sure they can figure out a way if they want to start new things like Rockstar did. You know, Red Dead Revolver was really good. The early stuff I've seen on L.A. Noir looks pretty good. I'm looking forward to Red Dead Redemption. I will pick it up. I think this is the first concrete or semi-concrete sign we've seen that Bungie's going to do the same thing. And going back to what we've talked about before, you know, Halo fans, you know, sooner or later you get tired of doing the same thing over and over again, you know, and so I hope they do, because I think they could produce some really cool games.
Oh, yeah.
That aren't...
Well, Final Fantasy's not the only RPG out there, and Halo's not the only first-person shooter.
Nope. I think how certain people react to Reach, how much new market share they draw on Reach, may help Bungie decide which course they go, you know. And I don't know whose policy, whether MSoft's or Bungie's, it was to make this whole ridiculous, you get into beta for sure if you got our crappy expansion pack haul, but if it was Microsoft's and that steers people like me away from the game, and Halo Reach doesn't do, you know, it's going to sell a buttload of copies because there's such a huge fan base that'll line up like Apple hardware zombies to buy it. But if it doesn't draw in new market share, I could see that being the final straw in pushing Bungie to go, okay, let's do something else.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think it hurt them at all to do it.
Talking about ODST, there's been some rumors that a lot of Bungie studios weren't impressed the decision to make ODST a full price game, which was Microsoft's idea. So there's more Microsoft meddling in them and more fuel for the fire for them going multi-platform.
Well, not only that, but I think this, hey, you know, you were stupid enough to buy this, so we're going to throw you a bone and give you the debt, make sure you get in the beta. I think that was probably Microsoft too. I could end up being proven wrong, but I just don't see Bungie themselves being quite that stupid. When you get a franchise to the point where it has a huge fan base that you know is going to buy games, it's all about drawing in more. Doing something like that just tends to aggravate and turn away anybody that's potentially, like, say, for instance, me, that's thinking about buying it. They're just lucky I don't get too worried about demos and betas and bullshit like that. As I said in that episode, I want to see the turd when it's fully polished, not when it's only half polished. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what Bungie does. I wouldn't get your undies in too big a knot yet, the Carloses of this world, but...
Hey, boy, could you shoe shine this turd for me? I am a motherfucker!
And episode 8 was the one where Gunsage got us thrown off the air. No, just kidding. Okay, moving on to one that might not be so controversial. Sure. This is from 1UP. The title is, Casting Call Suggests the Next Call of Duty is Set in Vietnam. It's basically just what the headline says. The LA studios are making casting calls for guys that were part of this Military Assistance Command Vietnam Studies and Observation Group, which was active from 64 to 72. They're looking for four guys. Looks like three males and a female. So if Treyarch's putting out this call, it looks like it's... And they also dropped a little bit that they're thinking it'll be kind of a takeoff or at least themed of Platoon and Apocalypse Now.
I wonder if they're going to have Alan Alba in it. Maybe have a log ride or something.
Plus 10 points for fucking obscure references to Gunsage. Everybody,
catch the other one.
The log ride? Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Even I had to think about that one, the Alan Alba one I didn't have to think about. I'm here to flap my gums, as my grandfather used to say, not think. Don't give me obscure shit like that. But actually, this gives me hope. Now, I'm going to actually have to play a demo of this to see if they don't repeat the mistake that the Battlefield series did with Vietnam, but, you know, it's still Treyarch, so it makes me nervous. But this actually gives me hope that maybe they're finally putting a stake through the heart of the World War II genre and moving on. And I think they can, you know, if somebody actually gives it an honest shot, as I've yammered about 100 times, I think somebody could do a good Vietnam era game. There's enough there. You know, if you, even if you leave out the soldiers doing drugs and going AWOL and protesting and hippies and shit, I still think there's enough there. So, what do you guys think? Pat, you're the FPS guy like me. What do you think?
Well, as long as they have a special Spec Ops mode, you know, a multiplayer mode where you could play in the United States at this time of in history, and you could play as a riot police guard, and you can go to all the different universities and beat the living shit out of all those hippies. If they have that in the game, I will buy it.
I'll play that movie,
play that level over and over and over again. I'll give you peace a chance, bitch. But honestly, I don't know. I know I'm glad the headline doesn't say looking for more World War II actors, because I haven't even played a ton of World War II games. Like, I caught on to it near the end of its popularity. But enough is enough. I think the next Call of Duty game set in Vietnam is a good idea. Will there be zombie Vietnamese, though? That's a big question.
It's a little scary hearing a Canadian wants to beat the hell out of hippie protesters here in the U.S. in the 60s. You're screwing the "we're really nice" image. Well, way to go. Patrick can be reached at the Canadian Postal Service, downtown Calgary. Anyways, now you know why your mail looks like it does, people in Calgary. He's beating hippie protesters with it. Anyways, it's too cold to have hippies in Canada. That's why you're immune. You can't be a hippie and show off your dreads and tattoos if you have to wear that much clothing.
Patchouli and frozen flesh.
Actually, I think the Apple hardcore have taken over the patchouli market. No, you can have hippie zombies. You can make it like you're a riot policeman in Chicago and make it hippie zombies where you gotta clean.
wait, I'm not a zombie. But you're still a hippie.
Try not to smoke so much dope. Yeah, see, they wouldn't even be zombies. They'd just be hopped up on the various drugs of that generation.
Isn't that kind of a misnomer? Hippie zombie? Yeah. Redundant?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you get rid of the peace and love, LSD, mushrooms, and mescaline, and you just basically got today's potheads. I mean, they're really, it's no difference. Gunsage, what do you think?
If there was a hippie beating mode like Pat suggested, I would literally... I would buy another 360 for my car and just completely I fucking put it in there and play it while I was on the road every day.
Somebody needs to make a Flash game of hippie beatdown. Yeah, you're the game maker. Make me a Flash game where you do nothing but beat on hippies.
Plants versus zombies, but it'll be hippies.
Exactly. There you go. That's as soon as the show's over, I'm sending an email to PopCap Games. They'll do it.
Yeah.
Plants versus hippies.
Well, that won't work, because hippies support the plants and the trees.
They wouldn't after the first few times of a plant giving them the royal beatdown. Ooh, and better yet, make it a pot plant, like a little pot plant that shoots.
Hippie revenge. That's... Have pot plants that are firing seeds and shit at them.
It just stops them. You know, they like get stunned temporarily because they're stoned off the seed, see? And then you have another plant that would kill them. Yeah, okay, Gunsage, semi-seriously, do you think this is a good Switch, as Patrick and I have denoted, finally leaving behind World War II after 300 games?
Well, I'm no history buff, but the original Wolfenstein 3D was, what, 1993? Something of that nature.
Yeah, and that was the first one.
Yeah, and then it seemed like they were going away from it, and it's fucking, suddenly out of nowhere, Saving Private Ryan, and then it became super popular again, and there were 200,000 fucking World War II games made. And, you know, I like it more when they just make up shit. Just make up a fucking war, because then at least it's inventive, and they don't feel like they have to be realistic. They can do whatever the hell they want. I mean... With Modern Warfare 2, yeah, it's based on real-life tactics, real-life this, that, and the other, which is cool, but it's still imaginative. It's still made-up stuff. It's still, you know, this, that, and the other. So that's awesome. When you're dealing with World War II, it's like, unless you're willing to do an alternative history take, which isn't really any better, it just gets so old and so boring doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, they need to lay off of it for a good probably 5-10 years before they
twenty at least. Because like Patrick said, and that's where I get kind of tired of listening to and get the old man get off my lawn thing going. You know, some of these people that are bitching, oh God, not World War II again. They've played two of them. I've played them since Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Waffleheim.
Castle Hamsterdime. You know, and then, like you said, it kind of, they died out. I think there was another Wolfenstein that was, had Nazis in it. And then it kind of died out. And then Saving Private Ryan came on. Then you had all the Medal of Honors. Then you had the early CODs, you know, and it's like, yeah, yeah, you said 10 years. You were being nice as far as I was concerned, 20. But something else you said segues nicely into our next story, the headline also from 1UP, because after the Nintendo Summit, the news places decided there was nothing but Nintendo news. EA, new Medal of Honor, not a propaganda piece. And basically what we got here is when Electronic Arts revealed that their new Medal of Honor would be set in the war in Afghanistan, and it was subsequently revealed that they may have based the cover soldier on a real-life soldier, it raised understandable fears that the game would exploit the war, yada, yada, yada. No, yeah, it's a fucking video game. You know, and then they go on to talk about how, no, we're not doing that, and EALA and DICE will handle it, you know, with kid gloves and this and that. I guess my first question to both of you, Patrick, you go first since you're Canadian. Well, hell, they're fighting there, too. Does it bother you that it's set in a current war that the NATO is fighting?
I don't really care either way. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head that, you know, it's a video game. So I don't really care if it's going, if it really turned out to be a propaganda piece. All I care is if it's going to be fun and exciting. So, you know, with DICE making the multiplayer, it should turn out pretty fun. The only thing that game has going against it really isn't whether it's going to be a propaganda piece or anything. It's the fact that, you know, it's going to be third out of the gate behind Battlefield, Bad Company 2, and Modern Warfare 2. So I think the propaganda thing is going to be used a lot, and it's going to be not by them, not by the developers, by the media more than anything. So I just want a good game. I don't care really if there's a lot of propaganda in it.
Gunsage, same question.
Well, more or less, I don't think it's going to be a propaganda piece, even if they try to have it be a propaganda piece. I mean, this isn't fucking Suda 51 here. This is EA. Yeah. On the same token, this is what I want to see. Okay, so in Wolfenstein 3D, you were fighting Hitler, but not just any Hitler. You were fighting Hitler with chain guns built into him and like a war machine style Hitler, all fucking crazy with red eyes and shit. Now, granted, the game came out, you know, what, 50 years after World War II, but this is what I would love to see. So they don't have to say that it's Osama bin Laden. They don't have to say that, but make it like look like him, but like a robotic mechanized form with this giant like metal beard that has lasers on it and shit. And you're just like one little dude and you have to fight him like he's fucking Metal Gear or some shit. There you go. There you go. Metal Gear Laden.
Medal of Metal Gear Honor.
Metal Gear Laden.
Medal of Metal
Gear. Can't be.
Okay. I currently nominate Gunsage's idea for how the game should end. EALA, if you're listening, that's what I want. Here's the thing. First off, personally, I don't have an issue with it being in a current setting. 6 Days of Fallujah, the game that saw the light of day because so many people threw a fit about it, including a small number of veterans, although the articles I read, more veterans were okay with it than against it. That was a little too specific. Because 6 days in Fallujah was an actual battle. That's how many days it took the Marines. Well, probably more than that overall. But that was the actual main firefight that it took to take the town of Fallujah, Iraq. That might have been pushing it a little bit with how close to when it happened. This is a generic game, for the most part, just set in Afghanistan. There are so many different battles and firefights and ambushes and patrols and yada yada going on in Afghanistan that I don't quite see the tie in here, and I don't see the problem. You know, other than people just want to be overly sensitive.
Yeah.
If I wanted to be a brutal dick about it, I could say, hey, the two wars combined, we haven't lost as many people as we lost on D-Day.
Yep.
I guess with the media overload of having to know everything there is to know, including the hidden shit that 90% of the time isn't there, we're getting more sensitive about it. I mean, because, you know, war and killing and all that is never fun. But these little wars we've gotten into in Afghanistan and Iraq are nothing comparing to the, oh, let me think for a quick sec. Oh, I don't know, the bombing of Dresden where we killed 255,000 civilians in a giant firestorm. Anybody remember that? Oh, what? You don't read history? Yeah.
I don't. That's my problem.
Anytime a civilian life is lost, it's horrible. But yes. 10 civilians in Afghanistan, when you weigh it with 255,000 in Germany, or the rape of Nanking in China, thank you, Japan, or the Bataan Death March, or a bunch of other stuff, yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing the point. So yep. I think that the mainstream media, and probably some of the gaming media, will attempt the 6 days in Fallujah this game as it comes out, or as it gets closer to coming out, but I don't think it's going to have the problems. EALA and DICE are handling it correctly. Plus, I want to find out if that dude's beard is an unlockable weapon.
<Got it. laughs> It'll be better than the shield. That'll be epic. Beard!
Yeah. Great. Listening to Gunsage and Party Chat shouting beard.
Well, if that's the case, I'm going to have to grow out my beard.
Patrick brought up a point that I wanted to talk about. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to friendly, like, disagree with you. You know what, dude? I'm hearing enough about this, and it's a reboot, that I think Battlefield Bad Company is going to get dropped like a hot rock when this bad boy releases.
So?
I tell you right now, from just the screenshots and the couple trailers I've seen, I know right now that I'll be dropping Battlefield Bad Company like a...
By then, yeah. Things. I mean, then you've also got the Vietnam thing we've talked about probably coming around the same time as that. It's a lot of similar war games. Will be interesting to see in the last year or so that have come out. It'll be interesting to see how well they sell. I guess pretty good. People like their killing.
Woo! Yeah. Don't learn anything about history from it, because we seem to repeat this same process over and fucking over and fucking over. But,
All I'm going to be interested in is if for the Vietnam game they have like super 80s music along with it. Because anytime I think Vietnam, I automatically think of different like 80s movies that dealt with Vietnam and things of that nature.
Actually, the only thing that was really cool about the Battlefield Vietnam was when you got in a helicopter, tank, or Jeep, and yes, for those of you historically impaired, we did have tanks in Vietnam, jungle and all that, but we still managed it. You got this playlist of 60s era music, and the set list they picked was really well done and a lot of fun. I just fly around in a helicopter listening to 60s music, shooting rockets at shit, playing against bots, or playing online. I hope Treyarch puts helicopters in it. That's going to be so amusing watching idiots that have only played Battlefield try and fly helicopters, because the controls in the EA or in the Battlefield Vietnam, you had to kind of pay attention to fly one of those helicopters, otherwise you were crashing into shit. Okay, Nintendo had their summit down here in San Francisco. The most I got out of it, and that's why I'm bringing it up, so you guys can inform me if I heard otherwise, is there's going to be another Mario Galaxy, surprise, surprise, and there's going to be another Metroid, surprise, surprise. And there's going to be a super huge, for those of you with giant hands, new DS called the DSi XL. What were you calling it earlier, Gunsage?
Dyslexel.
Dyslexel. Yes, that is its new official name, Dyslexel.
Dyslexic people spell dyslexia.
Right, exactly. The Dyslexel, or Dixel, whichever you prefer. The Dyslexel is for people like the ho-ho-ho, green giant type person. So if you have really big hands, you know, the Nintendo's there for you. Anyways, outside of the 40th Mario Galaxy, that could be off by 10 or 20. And the next Metroid installment, which is really no surprise to anybody. Did you guys hear anything else? Did you guys hear anything else out of the Nintendo Summit that you were interested in, would like to rant about, yada yada? Patrick, you're the Nintendo guy. Go first.
Well, nothing like both those announcements for a Nintendo fan. Well, they're not announced. Nintendo fans have known about the both three, the Zelda, the Mario, and the Metroid for quite some time. It was nice to see footage of Super Mario Galaxy 2. It looks really, really good, just like the first one was. The first Mario Galaxy was one of my favorite games when it came out, whatever that was, a couple of years ago. And they had a demo for the Metroid game, apparently about a 35-minute long demo. And I was poking around the place. Some of the people who say it is very good, and it's not Ninja Gaiden with a new skin. So having Team Ninja developed, it's still kept the old two-dimensional feel of Metroid. So that's pretty cool. They're teasing that ridiculous vitality sensor.
they're going to give more information at E3. And I think that's about it that came out of that. Well, the release dates, I think, for both Detroit and for Mario are sometime in the summer. So that's pretty good. I got out of it. Anybody?
Guns Age.
I really haven't been following it very much. I have hopes for both of them. I know Mario Galaxy 2 will do good. I'm a little concerned about the new Metroid, but I'm not worried about Team Ninja working on it because they do fine stuff.
I never got the whole, you know, when it was first announced, and I don't remember when, Patrick can probably fill me in. When did they announce that Team Ninja was doing the new Metroid?
E3.
Last year's E3.
They had a movie of it. Yeah.
I think it was 32 seconds after that, possibly quicker, that people started screaming it was going to be Ninja Gaiden with Metroid skins. And I never got that. It's, again, it's back to the, oh, because the developer does one thing, they can't do other things?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just a little afraid with Nintendo's current market. The only thing I fear with Team Ninja doing it is it's going to be brutally harder than any Metroid game you've ever played.
Hey, bring it on. That'd be awesome.
Well, right, but that you're not Nintendo's target market.
Oh, I know, I know.
So,
I'm just saying.
Oh, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's
actually
even. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I have not done so well on Metroid Prime games, but the only classic, well, actually, the only side-scroller Metroid I haven't beaten is Metroid 2.
Well, I'll FedEx you a cookie, then. I can't even tell you how many I play.
I get a cookie!
Nice. It'll be Metroid-shaped cookie.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to take it in the shape of my penis, but I could make it a Metroid. Hey, come on. Gabe at fucking Penny Arcade started that whole dicker doodle thing and nobody blinked an eyeball. It's some of the greatest fucking Christmas cookie photos ever. Patrick, would you be upset or annoyed if the next Metroid was as hard as Ninja Gaiden?
No. Did pretty well on the very first Ninja Gaiden back in the day. I just wanted to see the little cutscene because it was kind of new. So I was playing and playing and playing.
Yep.
So it traded the shit out of me, but it was still fun. I really, really liked the Xbox Ninja Gaiden game. That was one of my favorite games last generation. So if you think about it, the hardware is going to be very similar to what they were working on with the Xbox. So, no, I wouldn't even care if it has, I mean, it will have influences from, obviously, there will be, you know, I'm hoping that Seamus Aaron has a huge rack, just like in all Ninja Gaiden games and what's their fighting game, Dead or Alive.
Yep.
I mean, I hope at one point she's bouncing up and down and eating because that's what they do best.
I just
busted out of her seat.
worried not about the difficulty as much as no one's going to want to buy it. I mean, in Metroid Prime 3, which was a pretty good game, didn't do that well in sales. And it's exactly what you were sort of leading on to the Bruce. The main audience now is a bunch of soccer moms and grandmas in old folks' homes. Are they going to play Metroid? I don't think they are, which is kind of a waste, but I'm looking forward to it.
I've lost all care about this show now. I'm picturing Samus's boobs popping out of that suit. It's over.
Exactly.
What I thought about is if you took Bayonetta and smashed her into Samus at like 3,000 miles an hour, that's probably what she's going to look like.
Don't say things like that. My penis can only handle so much.
I'd forgotten about the devil. Well, yeah, okay. Normally I don't tell you to do this because I'm a nice guy, but if that happens, use your mute button. I don't want to hear it. That's what they were invented.
Not the Final Fantasy theme whenever I go.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'd forgotten about the DOA series.
Oh, yeah. One of the bestest games I've ever played.
God. Yep. When I think DOA, I think of that stand-up comedian from years and years and years ago who said the French think a breast should fit in a champagne glass, and a New Yorker thinks it should clog a toilet. And that is the main difference between the Americans and Europeans. I kind of tend to fall in between those two in the boob category. If they're too silly big, I just go, she's going to knock me the fuck out. I don't really want to deal with this. They're just too big. So the DOA series was cool, though, for the fact that they made them almost as big as they possibly could.
Fast as possible.
Oh, my God. That comic I put in the pre-show thing, he did one about that where the physics got to such a point one of her boobs popped off and went sailing in the stratosphere, and the other boob goes, hey, man, don't leave me. The boob that popped off goes, fuck you, bitch, I'm out of here. And it's flying off to the edge of the screen. But that's just it. Real world physics, there'd be some collateral damage going on there that you don't even want to think about. That's why it's a video game, and that's why we love them. Okay, that's enough news, views, and hopefully it's less Nintendo crap next week. Let's move on to Gamer Dick. I really didn't play anything this week, so. Gunsage, any Gamer Dicks?
I pretty much avoided playing online because I'd been playing Mass Effect 2 so much, and then I transitioned to Grand Theft Auto 4, so not really.
You stay away from the wife this week?
Oh, no. Actually, I do have a Gamer Dick.
Her again?
Yes.
God.
Okay, so.
Two shows in a row. Go
yes,
for it.
I'm trying to make a trend. Well, okay, so Mario Party 8 has a single-player mode, and
right.
It's actually kind of a pain in the ass, because it lets you unlock new things and all kinds of stuff, so I was like, all right, we'll see what this is about. Maybe I just have to play a few rounds and it'll be done. No, you have to play 6 rounds of the fucking game, and it's with set rules that constantly change depending on which board you're playing and a bunch of other really ridiculous shit. So there was that. But I finally get it completely beaten. I'm all happy and everything. Credits are rolling. And so I get up because I'm, you know, like, fucking credits, whatever. I go ahead and walk away from it. I'm getting ready to go ahead and do some errands and shit like that. I'm getting a grocery list together. That motherfucker goes ahead and turns off the console to watch TV. I'm like, the credits were rolling. She's like, well, yeah, but it already saved, right? I'm like, the credits were rolling. What is wrong with you? I don't know. It might have saved. It might have not saved. I've been so pissed off I haven't even turned the console back on. Because I'm just like, really? Really? I did this so that we would have more boards when we played, and you fucking turned it off because you're an asshole.
For just a split second, last week's I wasn't going to defend her, and again, you have an open invitation to invite her on the show to defend herself at some point. But dude, you know better than to leave a console unintended to those that aren't gaming nuts like we are.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I'm going to say. I know. That was my only defense was, hey.
But, well, see, the reason why I was so pissed off is because I'm like, okay, credits are rolling, but game's still on. What the fuck?
Oh, your wife has been a gamer dick 2 weeks in a row, and Carlos thought he had it bad. Patrick, do you have anybody for this week?
Well, I haven't played too much multiplayer. I'm playing a lot of single player, but I was playing the Battlefield demo. Which, of course, filled with idiots. Last week, it was some guy running around shooting me in the face the whole time. This week, I didn't experience them, but the good old El Mexicano was just screaming in his screaming into his microphone more than usual because he was so... I'll talk about his gamer dick. I don't have his gamer tag, but it's a sniper. And, you know, this applies to a lot of the noobs who snipe. Not the good... snipers. They know how to play, but apparently it was a sniper setting up in a building right in front of an open door, and he had his back turned to the door, and he just blocked Carlos at every... Carlos was trying so hard to get into that room, and he was just going absolutely crazy. So, on behalf of El Mexicano, that idiot who's standing in front of the door, you are the gamer dick.
I thought you were going to say he was whining because the sniper kept picking him off, and he was stupid enough to start running at the window over and over. Because he did that to me one night. I'm sitting there with a sniper rifle. It's one of the few times he's talked me into playing with just him. When I have gun safes to bash him back and you to filter him, I usually do okay. Although he's still currently on mute from his last go-around with me. I know, because he tried to send me a voice message. And did you know when you mute somebody, you can't even get voice messages from them? It's good to know. He kept running, same pattern. He'd spawn, he'd run around a corner. I'd see him run around a corner out of another window. He'd come straight at me, and I'd plant him. Well, of course, we're playing at a party, so he starts screaming and hollering at me that I'm a cheap bastard because I'm using a sniper rifle. Now, granted, I wasn't set up that great as a sniper, but with that epileptic sniper kit and friggin' COD, you kind of got to go short range anyway unless you really, really want to invest the time to get good with it, which there are guys that are really good out there. No doubt. But it's just like, dude, flank me. I just kept laying there until he finally flanked me. I think he finally knife-killed me after I killed him 7 times. It's like, it gets to the point where I'm so annoyed about it. It's like, dude, if you're going to be that stupid, I'm not moving. You know where I'm at. Figure out a way to kill me. one of my hugest pet peeves in the FPS games is people blocking doors. You both know that. You've heard me going nuts on in party chat. And I kind of blame devs, because it's like there are some games, and I was trying to think of the last one I played. I think it was Mass Effect, where the AI or other character models on screen don't block you. You can run through them.
Yeah.
And as stupid as people are about standing in doorways trying to shoot around corners, they should just make it where there's no collision, where you just cut right through them.
Well, that or, especially if it's like a person on another team, you can opt to kick open a door and it'll just kind of flatten them.
Go ahead, Pat.
No, I'm just saying that'd be a good,
I don't really care about cover systems, but the one thing I would like having in some of the FPSs that's in Rainbow Six is you can take C4 and breaching charges and blow open doors and it kills anybody right behind them. I wouldn't mind having that in the regular FPS games.
There's that, and one thing that I really liked that they did and wanted that I've never seen it performed in any other third-person or first-person shooter. Okay, so you're hiding behind cover, you know, doing blind fire. Motherfucker comes all the way up to where you're hiding behind and wanted. You can pull out a knife and take that dude out as soon as he comes on the other side of your cover, whether he knows you're there or not.
Hey, man.
And I'm just, yeah, I'm thinking, why not go ahead and make him like that? Or even better, now you can grab him, use him as a human shield. Or just the options are limitless there. I mean, because I cannot begin to tell you how many times in Mass Effect, and that's one of the main reasons I got so pissed, the enemies will just come up to your cover until basically they can, you know, half your cover's ineffective. You know, they can come around your cover, they can fire over your cover and hit you, whatever. And when your teammates are as worthless as they fucking usually are in that, it's like, okay, there's got to be some way to repel you. I've got concussive shot, but at this range, it's going to push me back too and negate my cover for just enough seconds to kill my ass. So, I don't know.
That's why I use most of my Mass Effect and Rainbow Six teammates as AI teammates anyways, as meat shields, portable meat shields.
Well, you can use them to flank in the second one. You can actually assign them to different points and have them take point there.
Oh, really?
But yeah, it's actually pretty decent. It's just, it's one of those things where then you feel like you have to do all of this fucking shit all at once. Because insanity mode, it's just, you either do it, or you get fucked. Or you do it and still get fucked.
Well, that's like a couple times in Rainbow Six, I knew there was a, you know, I get killed by a sniper, one shot, one kill, that's how it should be. Pissed off, go, fuck. And then I stop and think, why didn't I send out the AI first, so they're shooting at them? Because they generally, 9 times out of 10, avoid the damn snipers when I get whacked, when I'm barely sticking my nose out of cover. You know, I don't know why I don't think of that. It's like I'm attached to the AI or something. Come on, send them out there as meat shields and shoot what you want to shoot.
That was the other thing about Mass Effect, too. There would be times where it's dodgy AI. In the original Mass Effect, they kind of stuck with you. They would utilize cover pretty well, have uncanny accuracy usually. I rarely ever had people die in the original Mass Effect, and I completed on, like, hardcore. But Mass Effect 2, there are times where they're way the fuck over somewhere else shooting at enemies, or they went too far ahead and started shooting at enemies, mostly because they're mapped with, like, a shotgun, which makes sense, but I'm like, dude, stay back here. Stay back here. Wait for them to come to us. Don't get aggressive on my ass.
Oh, you can't map them to different guns again?
You can. You can. Oh. But it's like they automatically go ahead and start charging the enemy, or they'll stay way the fuck back like, Shepard, what are you doing? Firefight? Law, what's that? There's literally like two parts in the game where, like, there's one where I'm in a factory, and it's just an endless onslaught of fucking robots that you're fighting. But they're stupid enough to keep coming around one corner, so it's like a choke point. No big deal. You just hold that point and you're fine. Well, the problem is half the time the teammates wouldn't move up to the point to help me. So I turn a corner like, oh fuck, more robots than I anticipated. And I'm starting to run back and I'm like, okay, where the fuck are my teammates? I don't even see them. Where are they? What are they doing? And then I get killed. So I ended up having to force them up to a point, and sometimes they would get killed anyway, and it's like, I don't care. At least you did something.
In Rainbow Six, I go with the, oh, you didn't go right behind the cover where I told you to, and there's an enemy. You're now blocking me from shooting an enemy. Guess what? Headshot. Shoot the fucking AI. Shoot the guy behind him. Then have the other AI patch him up. It's like, you know what, just get the fuck out of my way. If Carlos was having a screaming fit about a guy blocking a door so he could snipe, I am totally with him. That shit annoys the crap out of me.
I would be, except it's Carlos. That would be humorous.
Well, we already gave Carlos the ride once in Gamer Dick, so Patrick was kind enough to pass along his Gamer Dick, so...
Yeah.
You need to be quiet. You do your fair share of harassment on Carlos anyways. But he seems to bother you the least.
That's why.
Yeah, Patrick and I will be working on that.
All you gotta do is overload him in the conversation. That was funny as hell.
I must have missed that one.
You weren't there. It was me, Pat, and Carlos. What were we playing? Just Modern Warfare 2 or something?
Probably.
He wanted to go off on this story about how he got his Xbox back, and I just interrupted him every other sentence.
That's right. Patrick sent me a message that I picked up on Xbox.com that Carlos has got his Xbox back. We're playing Modern Warfare 2, and I think I was editing the show, and I'm going, yeah, I'll just keep editing. I never showed up.
Pat sent a message while Carlos was talking. He's like, oh, great, now you get to hear it, too.
Well, I think that's what Pat was trying to do. He's trying to draw me onto my Xbox because he knows I check Xbox.com. He was trying to draw me into Sherry's misery. You got to watch him. Patrick's a friendly little guy, but he's a sneaky little bastard. He will punk Carlos up on you in a heartbeat. We're going to make him bad again if I don't cut all this out, and I'm not going to. That has been Gamer Dick this week. No, Carlos was not a Gamer Dick, but he did bring up a good Gamer Dick. Stop blocking doors, you stupid bastards. People got to go in and out them. On that note, I will give the... fine email address. That is morphinenation23@gmail.com. morphinenation23@gmail.com. That is where you send us questions, comments, insults, not when I'm in Xbox Live party chat. I will tolerate you talking about getting your Xbox back, but I don't want to hear you bitching about things I say on the show. And neither does Gunsage and neither does Patrick. So, this has been episode 8. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.
Ooh.
Going with the silent approach again this week, dirtbag. Again, just like I ended the last one, you suck, Gunsage. You're supposed to say. At least Patrick did his trademark frat boy. Woo!
Woo!
Patrick, the Ric Flair of the North.
Don't move. I'll get a towel. Thank you.